It's called the Second Bible. It's called my calendar Bible because I'll tell you, this is what I have to have. See, I'm borderline attention deficit. I was born that way, and I can't remember things for very long. And ever since I got married, my wife introduced me to this. And so everything that I need to remember, I write it down. I don't remember when birthdays are, except for my wife. I know our first date, February 12th. I know our second date, February 14th. And your birthday was February 18th, because I went into the church and broke into the records and found out your birthday. I remember our anniversary, 7773, so it'll be 49 years this year. There's a lot of things I remember, but there's also a lot of things I can't remember just within, like for example, we have the VBS preparation tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I have a meeting with Pastor Eric at 10. I got a circuit meeting at Mount Olive at 9:30. I have Owen's graduation that I can't go to because they only gave them 4 tickets, so one grandparent from each family gets to go, and I chose to go to a meeting. Then I got a Zoom Bible study, another Bible study on Wednesday night that I got to lead. Then I got my lab work with the doctor, and then I see the doctor 2 hours later. And then we have a special event on Friday night. Then I go to a concert at 7:30. And then the following week, my wife has lab work because she's going to have surgery a week from Friday as an outpatient, we hope. And then I'll be stuck with the housework for 6 weeks. Write it down. How many of you say that a lot? Okay. Well, our kids are coming to the end of the school year, and they're no longer to hear those words of the teacher, write this down. Because we had a professor, because of my being slow, I told him, I said, you need to tell me what's important so I can remember it for the test. So just for me, in the whole class of 50 students, he would say, write this down. And I did really well. And the other guys struggled. They said, how do you do that? I said, oh, the professor and I have a secret. It's called write this down. And so I've been telling more and more of the students, if he says write this down, it's going to be on the test. Well, what happens if you misplace that piece of paper you wrote it down on? How many of you remember? How many of you don't remember? Okay, isn't that awful? See, that does that to you. And it doesn't mean you're old. It just means you ain't got that gift. You and I have an opportunity to remember something that's called our baptism. We live our baptism every day. And you don't have to write it down because, what did the pastor say? Receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by the... It's already written down. You're already written in the book of life. It's already down. And God's people are going to be made new. And sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit, is something that's not perfect in this life. You got to wait till you get to heaven before you're holy. And I already told the other pastor, I'm a little bit holier than you because I'm older than you. No, that's not how you become holy. And one of the things that I've learned is that when the Lord comes, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And when we get to heaven, there's no sin, no death, nothing. And what are we going to do? What do we need to know? Well, if you heard in our second reading, John says, write this down, is what the messenger told him, for these words are trustworthy and true. And it's called the Bible. We have Genesis through Revelation. God wrote this down for you and I so we have no excuse. The Old Testament people waited for the Messiah. The New Testament people witnessed the Messiah, and now we get to rejoice in the Messiah of the living Lord and Savior and to tell people what he's done until he comes. And if you read Revelation, the bowls, six of the seven bowls are already poured. Six of the seven trumpets are already blown. And so the Lord is coming soon. There's something I got to tell you. The problem is, in this life, we're still, like Jesus said, we're going to still have sorrow, pain. We're still going to be sinners separated from God. This is why Luther says the old Adam must be, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die. We need to repent every single day. Live out our baptism every single day. Because when the judgment day comes for those that don't believe, that's eternal damnation for them. But for those who believe in the Christ, has salvation forever. Then we're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper briefly. And this is what we've been, that was written in God's word. And God wrote it down for us, that these were given to us for the forgiveness of sins. He also will transform us by sending us the Holy Spirit, which begins actually in conception, because faith comes in the womb, as it happened to John the Baptist. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at our baptism. We see the Holy Spirit regularly when we get into God's Word. And then we have this Holy Spirit that's going to assure us we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to celebrate. The old stuff's going to pass away. And through Christ Jesus, our tears will be wiped away. And there will not be any more crying or pain or mourning. And when you stand before the Heavenly Father, he's going to say to you, "And I will remember your sins no more." So the Holy Spirit is slowly helping us to become a new person. We're coming forth. We're in a process because our faith goes up and down, doesn't it? And so the Holy Spirit is always going to be there for us to get us through. And then there's this rebirth process, this new creation that Paul was telling the Corinthians. He says that we will walk by faith. He told the Galatian church, we will be a new creation. He told the church in Ephesus that we will be put on a new self created after the likeness of God in a true righteousness and holiness. This same Spirit is at work right here in this congregation. And it's all written down for you in Holy Scriptures. Because we're going to learn about God's justifying work and sanctifying work. The work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. As you saw written down in your second reading, he is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. And that's where everything begins in our life and everything ends in our life. There's something unique about this Jesus. I always tell people there's only three religions in the world. One teaches works for salvation in heaven. The other one teaches works plus what Jesus did to get to heaven. And the other one teaches Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, hopefully that's where you're at. It's only through Christ Jesus, because Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And there's going to be a new church, a new Israel, a new Jerusalem. We are called the body of Christ. And Jesus is our head. And he gives us a glimpse into the future when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that banquet feast to come, the banquet feast that we're about to receive when we go to heaven. And the good news for us is that this will be a place that will be totally excluded from all the problems of this world. Because in heaven, there are no problems. God will be present for us forever. It's kind of interesting. If you were listening, Jesus was present, and he mentions it three times. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. He's reassuring you and I what our purpose is. But how do we know this is supposed to be true? It's all written down in the B-I-B-L-E. You know what that means? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's all written down for you and for me. And what do we know about God's word? Well, you heard what John wrote. These words are trustworthy and true. Our hope is in the very words of God himself. We can be sure and dwell in this hope that we have this direct promise from the Heavenly Father that he has communicated his word and now has it in written form for you. And Jesus knows we're thirsty for him. Something I learned a long time ago, when you're born dependent. And when you die dependent. But yet, you have this promise of eternity. And so God invites us to come to the spring of living water. We learn from the prophet Isaiah concerning this living water of life. He says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters without cost. It doesn't cost a thing. Write this down. It does not cost a thing. It's free. To drink of the living water means to trust in Jesus as your Messiah, the living Savior, the Christ, who offers us his grace and salvation without cost. And Jesus paid for it, as I learned in Bible class today, at the cross. When he said it is finished, it means paid in full. The price that Jesus paid in the suffering for us, in his bleeding for us, and dying for us, and in his resurrection for us. So because he lives, we live too. So it gives us this water of life that we can live every single day. It's a beautiful picture of the image of drinking the spring of life of Jesus Christ. This water of life is the essence of salvation and is the unending, intimate relationship with the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. You see, our world is totally messed up. I'm tired of hearing about Roe versus Wade. I actually know that the woman who started all this regrets bringing it up. She's now a Christian and she doesn't believe in abortion. And a few days ago, I had a woman that wanted to meet me at church. Drove 40 miles to see me. And she told me of her deep hurts, mistakes she made. And she came to the conference on dying, death, and heaven that I was doing a week ago. And she says, Pastor, I want to thank you for giving me forgiveness and hope. Because I told him, I said, even though you aborted that child, if that child heard the word of God in your womb, you will see that child again in heaven like David did when he lost his child. And your sins are forgiven. And I ran into another lady who said, I have a right to do with my body what I want. And I said, well, did you ever see what was written in here, the Bible? You are not your own. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit say in the psalmist? How God knitted you together, had known you before you were even born. And that lady never heard that before. She didn't believe me, so I opened up the word and I says, it's written right here. She's now a pro-life supporter. That's where life is at. But I have to tell you one more story. We had a woman in our church before I retired and she was devastated. She's pastor. I'm a murderer. I just aborted my daughter. And I didn't say anything. I just looked at her with the most loving eyes I can give to anyone, and I listened to her story. It is possible that you may have to have an abortion if you have a tubular pregnancy. What does that mean? Sometimes a baby doesn't go into the womb like it's supposed to. It somehow gets caught in that tube. And if it lands there, the baby can't live, and it will actually kill the mother. So when she went to the clinic to have the baby removed and to save her life, I said, I don't think you murdered your child. Matter of fact, I know you didn't, because that's not your fault. It's not something your body. Somehow the baby went the wrong direction. Who knows why? But you'll see that child again. But I said, the sin that you committed, you didn't tell your husband. So you need to tell him. Explain why. And he'll be there. And I knew her husband. And he did. He says, I'm sorry you had to go through that. I wish you would have told me. I would have been there. That's a tough thing to walk through as a mother and a father. So you wonder, is that what goes on in our life around us with all the troubles and the things that are going on today? Yeah. But thanks be to God that we have a lamb at the center of the throne who is our shepherd. And he's going to lead us to the living water of life through baptism, through the sacrament, through the written word. You see, John also tells us in Revelation that the angel showed me the river of water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. The living water flows through the Heavenly Father who gave us his Son, Jesus, our Lamb. And we have this tremendous invitation that comes from the Holy Spirit to his bride, the church, and says to the world that we have this free gift of the water of life that comes from God. And I love how John closes Revelation. The Spirit and the bride says, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of living water. So I told both of these moms, just keep being drawn to the living water of life. Because this free gift of water is all written down for you and for me. As Paul told the Romans, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus alone. And all God's people say, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.